what's poppin'? We are in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the best of Drew and Mike, as finally we're getting a couple days off.
Although I feel like for the best of, I've been here longer today than on a regular show day.
This is, why are we responsible? Where's the department that takes care of the programming when we're not here?
It's crazy.
Although, BS is this?
I gotta say, I thoroughly enjoy, you know, when you do it every day, you kind of just do it, throw it away.
Goes to the moon.
Yeah. So it was really fun listening to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, I was hearing it upstairs, and it is, it's good to listen to old stuff. It reminds me of stuff that was good, that I, like, oh, we never do that. Why don't we do that anymore?
Yeah.
So, in fact, I was talking about doing a Twitter poll, and I'll give you the exciting Twitter poll idea after these words. Because we all know the best way to support the podcast is to support the loyal sponsors like DealsInTheD.com and the entire Zot Auto Group, who want to give you a couple more reasons to support our sponsors while supporting our podcast, like Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota. They make buying or leasing your next newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV fun, sighting, exciting, and hassle-free. Plus, they have massive inventories full of the hottest models, and they're all ready for immediate delivery. Zot Auto has the lowest prices, lowest payments, and the best interest rates, player Dave, period. So head to any of the Zot dealerships, pick your next vehicle, have fun doing it, and don't forget to tell them that we sent you, any of us or all of us. And if you can't get off the couch for whatever reason, head over to DealsInTheD.com, shop right there, online, and surf their great deals and massive inventory right now. You can see it all right there at DealsInTheD.com. And the folks at Adam say the first question men will ask when they talk to a lawyer at Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men, is how much is a divorce going to cost? But the question is, how much is it going to cost if you don't hire the best? Adam is the first law firm to focus exclusively on representing men in divorce, and Adam is still the best, almost 30 years. It doesn't cost any more to hire the best, but it could cost you plenty if you don't. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM. Hope you don't have to call them, but, you know, if you do, it does happen quite a bit. You want to talk to people and know what they're doing and can represent your interest. And a lot of people don't want to screw the other person, too.
Yeah, don't do yourself.
No, don't do
don't
yourself.
Don't represent yourself. That usually doesn't work out well.
I've heard of people, who just thought, oh, no, we don't need lawyers, and it gets kind of messy, so. Anyway.
No, but I mean, in general, when does it work out where someone represents themselves in a case?
Wait, there's been some murderers who've done a real nice job in court, aren't there? Who was the guy that shot people in the subway?
Ernie Getz?
No, the black guy that was crazy. Remember that guy?
No, was it Carl Watts? No, he was here. I vaguely remember, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was exciting as hell. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way. But
well, the autistic guy that killed his grandpa and then took the boat out that drilled a hole in the boat
guy.
And it sank. And
yeah. Did he represent himself?
Oh, yeah. And I think he's free, so he's the only genius that pulled it off.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I really would suggest you get an attorney if you're getting a divorce.
And, oh, yeah.
Dudes do seem to have success with Adam, so there you go. As for, let's see. The best of Drew and Mike.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
You should have that guy rep you.
Yeah. First, though, the Twitter poll I wanted to put out, and I just don't have enough information to do. I was trying to think of a mental list of all the guests that we should not forget to have on. Again, this sort of goes back to listening back to the show. And, you know, I was thinking of the obvious ones like Mr. Skin, Andy Dick, you know, Gary Graff, people like that, and just wanted to see who would they pick.
I thought of one who is very divisive.
Mr. Methane's another one?
Mr. Methane, definitely. Everyone loves Methane. He's kind of our British correspondent.
No division there.
No, Mike Babone.
Ooh.
People either hate him or love him.
I don't know. I felt like the magic was gone. I don't know why.
Oh, you mean when I did meet the McMurrays, eh?
What the hell was that? What was that?
I have to do that in an upcoming best of.
I can't even believe he... What was he doing?
I don't know.
He thought he had some kind of hit sitcom that was going to take off on Facebook or Instagram or something.
And I think the only people that followed him were
our people.
Yeah.
That's it. No, I don't know.
Just going around filming, eh?
I think I'm on the south side of Babone these days.
Oh, ouch.
But I know. We'll have to make a list.
Still have to call Count David Wintbeck.
Yeah, I know that's a guy I think should be. Well, we need him to talk about recounts, see if maybe he's available. Because is there still an election that's up for grabs?
I think everybody conceded. They're probably
the Florida governor's thing get done.
Probably is somewhere.
What about the Florida governor?
No, they he conceded.
The Republican
Gilchrist?
One?
Yeah, to okay. DeSantis.
The Oprah's friend in Georgia, did she give up?
She, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I think she's suing, though, over voter suppression or something. And so the Republicans won those three, but then the female, the hot bisexual one in Arizona,
Simonin.
She's a Democrat. Simonin. I think there was another one the Dems won, too, so I don't know. It was a wacky
How come she doesn't get a sex scandal like Clinton?
I don't know.
Where's the cinnamon affair?
Well, it could be coming. She's just taking office. So, although she's been in office before.
Where's the intern that's showing her thong off to her?
I know. Hot. Or it could be some guy sending her dick pic. Who knows? Could go either way. Anybody's eligible to have some sort of a scandal with her. That's the cool part.
How's she ever going to get any work done?
I don't know. I don't know how anybody does if they have that many. Because I think everybody sizes up people. You know,
I wish women were more sex positive, but we're just not there yet.
Whether you're really in a finished situation, like married or not, I think people do still assess everyone. So it takes twice as long to assess everyone for a bisexual. They have to assess everyone. Every new person enters their life, they have to sexually assess.
Yeah, they're not going to get anything done.
Why hasn't anyone done a study on that? The sexual assessment study. Because doesn't everyone assess everyone sexually? She's hot. I could dig her if I wasn't, you know, in this marriage or whatever.
I mean, guys do at least. Women do too, though.
Women do. Except they're probably assessing the value of the person's sperm.
Or wallet.
Their jeans and their wallet, yes. How comfortable would that guy make me if I was available?
Yeah.
So today we start off with some radio days. It was after we talked to Zip, who made it to WRIF and two other stations with me.
Hey, that's another guy we need to check.
Yeah, he's a good. Yeah. He's a lot of fun, actually, very funny. And after we got done with Zip, we got into some other radio stories and show history, and that is on the Best of Drew and Mike.
Now, how long was Zip here? Like, when did he leave? Approximately, do you remember?
I think he left around, I want to say, about a year. After he got here.
About a year?
Yeah. And it was
so the end of 92?
End of 92. And Clark just came out of character because Mike was doing his characters. And Stress was kind of in the studio almost where he would literally talk as Stress all the time.
I remember those. I remember the yeah.
And actually, it worked fairly well. In fact, our first book.
I mean, it had been a strain on his voice, though.
Yeah, I would think so. People used to always ask him about that. And he never complained. It never bothered him. We had a really good first book because after Calvert left, Riff was tumbling down and I want to say in like the low twos or something. The first book, we had like a 3.6 and it was like, whoa, here we go.
What was the gap between Calvert and like, when did he leave? Do you know?
He left 4 months before we got there.
Okay. What did they do for that 4 months? Just
Lynn by herself.
Oh, that's right.
And she was miserable. Oh. She hated it.
That's tough though, man.
Oh yeah. No, it wasn't her fault. Yeah. It wasn't her fault at all. She was
a 4 month gap. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a long time to just sort
never
of let
happens.
It go. No, and they just could not find the right show. There just weren't that many people moving at the time, and so you know we kind of lucked into that thing. But we were off to such a great start, and then Zip had started dating this girl in Phoenix, and she came with him, and then they fell apart.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
Like around. You know, the fall book ends or the winter book ends in March or so. Mm-hmm. By June or so, they'd split up and he was back in the same place. And he'd come in the morning and it was like Mike Clark had to really step up because Zip was just, you know, he'd be up all night arguing with her. Yeah, it was just a disaster. And, you know, and these guys are like, hey, what's wrong with your partner? I'd be like, oh, I know, it's terrible. I'm telling you, though, he's great. He's going to be great. Everything's gonna
be
fine.
Oh, that's what sucks, too, is they don't know him.
No, they don't know him.
And they don't care to know.
Yeah, exactly. They just think, this guy can't perform. What's wrong with this guy? I don't even hear him on the show. Where was he this morning? Oh, he was there. You know, he talked a little bit, you know, and you're trying to kind of just hope it'll blow away, and it just didn't blow away. And, you know, he was, I've mentioned this a few times, and I know he'll laugh if he hears me say this. He was banned from using the word Judy. Zip, don't say the word Judy in front of me. I don't want to hear the word Judy. And he didn't. He wouldn't say it to me. But he'd go find an intern or somebody to talk to about Judy.
Oh, man.
And so you know, eventually it was just him and this intern talking about Judy all the time. And that was the most talking he did on the morning show. He was just kind of sitting there like, he was just so wiped out. I mean, I really felt bad for him. It was horrible.
I just like the fact that he agreed to it and held it up.
He did. Say Judy.
Except I mean, it's not a real law or rule.
The one time, and I will not reveal why he brought this up. Maybe it's some. No, I'm not gonna reveal this. He said, you know, I know I'm not supposed to talk about Judy. I just got to ask you one thing about Judy, and then I won't mention it again. Because this one thing was really eating him up. And yeah. So he, I waived the rule for one instance. And
it wasn't worth it to waive that rule? For that
Yeah, well, it was. The story was quite something.
Really? Yeah, oh, man.
I wonder if he... Yeah, when Zip's listening, I wonder if he knows what this is. I can't wait to talk to him. Yeah, I know he'll remember. Oh, boy. But, you know, for a guy that was struggling, I mean, there was some really great work, you know, at AAF when, you know, he left. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, he was on fire, and it was like, whew, here we go. And then they sold the station. And that was a story where these new people came in. They hired a new PD almost immediately, and this guy just came in. You suck, you suck, you suck, you suck. You know, you better get your shit together. And they were really reaming everyone. Not really us, though. Not we didn't have to have meetings every day. It was kind of strange. I thought, I think it's coming. I just don't think, I don't know what's going on, but I think it's coming. And so we started floating tapes out. And as soon as we got a job offer, all of a sudden it was like, oh, no, 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 everything's fine. No, you guys are, we love you guys. You know, I want you to stay. They offered more money. And we just knew it was just bad.
Wow.
And when we left, we heard it got worse and worse and worse. And these people who'd been there a long time, people who were all, that place is it was a launching pad for talent. It just had great, great people. Opie and Anthony worked there after we did. Bob Rivers worked there.
That's when they got in trouble for their April Fools, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. They were an afternoon show there.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a morning show. I mean, it's a real creative place to work.
Now, tomorrow, Trudy's going to be on, right? So when?
Yeah.
What's her start date?
She started in December, I think right after Mike Clark.
December of 91? So
December
right
of 91.
She came from Sacramento?
I think she came from Boston, actually.
Boston, okay.
She'd worked in Columbus. She had a great run in Columbus at WLVQ, which is a real kind of the WRAF of Columbus. Uh-huh. Nationwide. Zip and Bob were going to work for Nationwide. It's funny when I brought that up. He knew immediately what I was getting at. He didn't get as specific as I did, but yeah. She had a real nice run at WLVQ, and then I think her co-host left or something, and she she worked with David Lawrence for a while. David Lawrence was a big guy in the American Comedy Network, which was started by the company that owned WAAF, New City Communications, had started these nine morning shows, had basically started this comedy network, and Bob and Zip were a big part of it because they submitted parody songs, and they sold all that stuff to like 130 markets.
Mm-hmm.
And it was they made a ton of money on it. It was a big deal. And the people involved were really good, really creative people.
I was looking at some stuff that happened around, you know, in November of 1991.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Well, the big one is Magic Johnson
attaining the HIV virus, yeah.
Which for some reason I thought was later than that. But that happened before you actually got to Detroit.
Yeah, it was like a week before, I believe.
Yeah, November 7th.
Because my PD that I loved at WAF, Cindy Slater, she was in Scottsdale when I went to Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
So we used to see her all the time, and I was at her house when that came on the TV. And I remember it was like Magic Johnson's dead, basically.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, really.
Everybody remembers where they were when they heard, right?
Oh, yeah, it was like that. I mean, isn't that strange to think of?
I remember I was turning in my football equipment from high school, and my line coach goes, "Hey, Magic Johnson has AIDS." And I go, "Yeah, right, whatever." He goes, "No, seriously, he does." It's one of those things you just didn't believe. Hey, well, Magic Johnson has AIDS.
The thing that is really incredible about it, and it's funny because my brother always talks about stuff like this because he's a doctor and he just, you know, he believes in the facts. And he says for someone to get AIDS from from heterosexual sex
is so hard. Yeah.
And, you know, the feeling is that that's how he got it. But it sounds like he was on such a bang-a-thon at that time.
It must be blood.
Yeah, I guess so. So he was banging a chick with AIDS, apparently.
Still, even with blood. Probably, yeah.
even with blood, you have to. There has to be
exchange of bodily fluids,
and you know, even if that happens, it's still hard.
I distinctly remember when Magic Johnson was going to marry Cookie, and I'm not sure which time this was because in reading his book,
right.
her book, there were three engagements, and I think this was the last one. And I remember when Kurt Rambis came on our show, which he was on like three times a week during Sun season. The first thing I told him was, "Hey, Magic Johnson's getting married," and Kurt just like long pause, and he goes, "Oh no."
That's a normal response, though, right?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't playing with him at the time. He was playing for the Suns, but you know, and then he kind of recovered and realized, congratulations. That's great.
Oh, man.
But then in talking to Kurt, and you know, we talked a lot outside the show, he said that he didn't think that was a very good idea. Just didn't think Magic was ready to be married. It's that Laker group. And it's really revealed in Showtime, too,
mm-hmm.
which, God, what a great book it is.
Yep, Jeff Ooh. Perlman.
Yeah, which we interviewed him at 105.1.
Yep.
Was it Norm Nixon that was
yes.
the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange piece on every road trip.
Yep.
And the one time, because they used to tease him about, like, you're going to get shut out in Milwaukee again. You know, Milwaukee's where it's going to end, because I think it was the last place he hadn't gotten anybody. Yeah. And so I think it was snowing, and he couldn't get a cab to do what he wanted to do. And he's like, Norm's going to get shut out. And then at like 1 o'clock in the morning, some chick pulls up in a cab and gets out and goes up to Norm's room. It's like, no, Norm, how does he do it? He had slept with a lot of same chicks as Magic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
that's why he was freaked out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
And then Magic had to go in the room and call everybody.
Oh.
That would just be awful.
Just to think of that week, too. And 2 days later, he's meeting with AIDS activists.
Yeah. Big Magic Johnson. What has he done?
Hey, Sterling.
There's the man.
Charlotte farted in my face today.
What? What?
I'm not joking. So, we're getting ready. She doesn't like to get ready, which I think that must be my gene in her. I mean,
obviously,
you know, I'm late for everything. She doesn't want to get ready, so I'm like, we're going to church. Let's go. We gotta get ready. Let's go get ready. And she just wouldn't do it. So I went to go scoop her up and fireman carry her. Like,
mm-hmm.
So she's you know laying over my shoulder, and I got her legs like this, and she's just bawling. All of a sudden, I start squeezing her like above her knees. Cause that makes her laugh.
Uh-huh.
And I start doing it. And she just goes, and I'm like this. So her butt. Hole is probably 4 inches away from my nose.
Oh, man.
And she starts laughing.
Of course she did.
I know.
How
I
could go, she not?
Did you just toot in my face? I toot. Oh, I've created a monster. We went to get ice cream the other night, and she told me my flavor was chocolate poo.
It's definitely in terrible twos.
She's in the anal stage.
Are happening,
Freud,
man.
Freud's anal stage.
Yep, no doubt. That kid's having a ball.
That poor girl.
She's fighting the fight, though.
Oh, she's great. I love her.
Of course you do.
She's all right.
She'll get it. It's only going to get better from here. I mean, actually, they get pretty helpful when they're around 5 or 6.
I know. I realize today, though, I'm the problem with a lot of things.
What's the problem?
I'm the problem. I joke around with her too much, and Julie yells at me.
Well.
I set poor examples.
I want the kid to have a sense of humor. You want to be the hero parent.
I suppose.
You don't want to be the bad parent.
No, I
the
know.
The mean parent, the like, disciplinarian, the practical parent.
So she had
the
her,
fun parent.
She had her little
spend
friend.
Money on her when she wants something.
She had her
crying.
Little friend
what does she need?
Sam and Sam's parents came over, and we're just playing around. Of course, it's like three adults and three children because I'm just sitting there playing around with them. But, you know, I don't think about it. I threw like a stuffed animal, which, of course, monkey see monkey do. And it's like, oh, no, we're not supposed to throw. Oh, no, we don't throw things, even though I just chucked like a stuffed animal, like Grover's stuffed animal.
Well, maybe you should get your learning curve a little bit ahead of hers. Hey, this reminder, the Drew and Mike store is open with new T-shirts, including the Mike Clark Memorial T-shirt, which I've not been able to talk to Trish. I've tried to keep texting her, and she texts back, you know, hi, thanks, and she's really not in a position to start making judgments on, you know, charities and things like, and I don't want to bother her anymore. Yeah. But we're going to go ahead and sell the shirt. And if we put the money aside, whatever, we'll do it. And I'm sure eventually we can get Trish or Mike's sister, Cynthia, to help us figure out what to do. We have some ideas, but anyway, the Drew Mike store is open, and there is a "It's Not All About You, Sweetheart" T-shirt.
Yeah, I really like that design.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be excited about some of the stuff that's on there. There's the old favorites, and there's a couple new ones too, including the Mike shirt. I think will do great.
Yeah.
And coming up, we have some old memories of Woodstock and toe sucking and School for Millennials. I forgot about that completely. That's
really funny. I learned a lot.
So I'm sure we all did. So it's gone completely out of my brain. I have no memory.
How to make a bed. That was one of the classes.
I guess yeah, mommy probably took care of that.
And driver's ed, because they don't know how to drive.
All this softness. You know, it's funny. We like making fun of millennials. We should be making fun of ourselves, the shitty parents who created this soft world for millennials that they had to fight their way out of when they became adults. Good God.
Speaking of driving, it's the holiday season where people and families come together and wishes do come true. It's why Hoop McInerney Star Lincoln celebrates the season by hosting the annual Lincoln Wishlist sales event. At Star, the amazing prices will make America's premier luxury car feel like it's their gift to you. Check out this lineup. They got it all. They have the popular MKZ sedan. That's what I drive. They have the legendary Continental. It's pure class at its finest. And, of course, they have a line of SUVs that surpass all other brands, including the sporty MKC, the new option-laden Nautilus, and the Navigator, which was the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. Tis the season where Detroit's most accommodating and knowledgeable sales team connects you to the car of your dreams. Just call Jimmy D at 855-567-STAR or email him jimmyd@starlincoln.com. Be a part of the Lincoln legend. Come see Star's beautifully remodeled showroom. It's the perfect environment to shop, test drive, and then take home the Star of American Luxury Cars. The Lincoln Wishlist sales event runs right now through Sunday, January 2nd at Star Lincoln at 12 in Telegraph in Southfield.
Some of you may have noticed a disclosure change in our recent ads that references Royal Allowance now instead of Signator Investors. This summer, Signator was purchased by Royal Allowance, and now...
Is it Alliance?
Royal Alliance. Some of you may have noticed a disclosure change in Luke Nowacki's recent ads that references Royal Alliance instead of Signator Investors. This summer, Signator was purchased by Royal Alliance, and now we have a new broker deal with who Luke is working. This does not change how he works with his clients at all. Mostly back-end paperwork type things are changing. All of the services, business methods, team and office will remain exactly the same. They're still here waiting to answer your questions. Like, you know, Trudy got her health care done with Luke. And she had a lot I think she's done. She had a lot of questions, and she, you know, I didn't even know he did stuff like that. But
I'm just mad that she's already done.
I think she was very happy, though, to have help.
Oh, yeah. Well, you only have the open enrollment ends December 15th if you have to buy your own health care.
I know, and honestly, there's a lot to sort through. So
it's annoying.
It's nice to have help. Give Luke's team a call, Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, and services. References here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Whoa.
Whew. And now,
wow,
are we on to?
Yeah, we can do the next part.
Okay, we already teased it, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I'm leaving that in there.
I'm kind of lost. Okay, right. Here we go.
Is this just some creep, Trudy, or was there some contest before giving you a foot rub?
Oh.
No, toe sucking.
Okay. That guy's still out there?
He said, will there be a new contest to get Trudy
a new toe suck? That was so funny. Oh, my God, was that funny. Honest to God, it half freaked me out because I couldn't believe how turned on that guy was.
No.
He's spraying whipped cream on your toes.
Yeah.
And he was so fired. Because to me, it was a bit.
Right.
But then when the guy did it, it wasn't a bit anymore.
Yeah. He blocked the whole room out, didn't he?
And Mike Clark was just going nuts.
Yeah,
he was
awkward. Oh, Mike Clark, that was his turf.
Oh, he loved it. He absolutely loved it. It was crazy, though. And the guy...
What did you think about it, Trudy?
It was just one of those moments where you're not in your body, because...
I'm sure you weren't.
Besides being utterly flattered.
I'm so turned on.
Well, not turned on, but
you must have been laughing a little bit.
Right. What's getting this dude off?
What else?
That's flattering.
I was
going to
start, you know, like, making out with him.
Right? That was really funny, though.
He had his mouth on my feet.
One thing you have in common with him is your feet.
Every now and then he would look up, and there'd just be, you know,
whipped cream all over his face.
Gross.
And he just looked so ridiculous, and he was so excited. It was like, oh, my God, you are such a creep.
Oh. Where is that guy? Who is that guy?
I have no idea.
You know what? I showed you a picture of the 23rd Riff birthday from upstairs.
Yeah.
I think one of the people in that is the chick I made out with.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know. It looked like her. Her name was Catherine or something like that. And
that was hot.
Like
the State Theater. Where's the picture? I want to look back at the picture. She was kind of cute.
I don't know if it was her, but there's a guy in the picture, too, with a mustache. And I'm like, who is that guy? Because he's got a major mustache.
Mike Clark.
I know I'm having trouble making people out, but Trudy's got her old Woodstock pictures too, which are hilarious.
Fun.
Those are great.
Yeah, there's a lot of
really cool.
There's a lot of Wang.
Let me see some of that Wang.
Here are the Tartaglias.
Oh wow,
they're little kids.
Is that the girl?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, it's.
Oh, it's her.
One maybe. I don't know. I remember having dark curly hair.
Joey looks exactly the same today. He's aged about 2 years.
Yeah, I know. It's funny.
There's all the. We went to Woodstock. In this big Winnebago, Tom Sarna drove it, and we had a guy on board, and did you think his name was Bob Crane?
I thought his name was Bob Crane. I really do.
And he had this big scar on his back where his shoulder blade is, and he claimed that he had a third arm that was growing out of there. And I believe
he was born with a third arm. I know. We totally bought it, and we were fascinated by it. We talked about it for a long time. And
like,
I still to this day don't know if that guy was totally bullshitting us or
he
had a third arm.
Yeah.
My shoulder.
Wait, what is the circle of
it's the peace circle.
You talked about that before, yeah.
Yeah, we all held hands.
Yeah. But we were just standing there looking at the place going, oh, so this is where the original Woodstock was.
Right.
And the next thing you know, these people were surrounding us and someone's grabbing my hand and someone's grabbing your hand and this circle of the circle of peace or something was made.
We got sucked into the circle of peace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was so not wanting to be in any kind of circle of peace.
I know you wanted to stand.
But then again, you just rode a Winnebago all the way there.
So yeah, true.
That's a very undrew thing to do.
Oh, God, that was a long
miserable
ride.
Oh, my God, this dude's nude. Okay, there's the Wang.
It was
a lot of Wangs in it.
The drive was more fun than it should have been.
Yeah, it really was.
This dude with his Wang out.
A good group.
Way ahead of his time, considering he's fully shaved.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, he took a picture of dongs.
No.
Get him some milk!
Steve Galley took pictures of dongs.
He's fully. Is a guy shaved?
Yeah.
In 94?
And he has.
He's way ahead of the time.
Somebody drew little flowers and a vine around his wiener.
Oh, man. How weird.
I'll see your wiener.
Look at this dude, dirty underwear.
Oh, yeah, that's Bob Crane, the guy who is supposedly a helicopter pilot. And had a third arm.
That's pretty cool. That must have been a fun trip.
It was a riot.
Yeah, it was a riot when we got there. Yeah. What was so insane about it, though, was every day they would say, if you're not on the grounds, don't even think about getting in here.
Right.
And we weren't on the grounds. It's like, okay, we have to get in there. What do you mean we can't get in there? What are you talking about? We can't get in there. We have 3 days of tickets. They didn't say you had to be in the grounds to be in there.
Right.
And so we would lie and weasel and... You know, we get these traffic stops where they'd say, no more. Nobody goes in.
Yeah.
And say, we're with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And we just would make something up.
And they were all our children.
Yeah. And they would let us through. And they were letting other people through, too, because nobody's going to be shut out. If you bought tickets, you were going to be told you couldn't go.
They let us backstage into the backstage area when Metallica performed.
I forgot about that.
All a lie.
Stop it.
Yeah, Metallica was, that was late Saturday night, I believe.
Yeah, right. Tom Sarna talked his way in.
I love the band, Levon Helm
and
the band.
Yeah.
They played, it rained right before they played, it poured, and like this pool of water, the tarp that was covering it sort of sagged in the middle with a giant pool of water, and just as they were about to play, the whole thing came down, water all over all their instruments and everything. So it took about... I don't know, half hour to get the place cleaned up, and then they played. But the band, I love the band, first of all. And it just seemed like the right band to be playing at Woodstock in the afternoon on a Saturday. And it was you know, the sun came out. The mud people were running around then.
Yeah, the mud people.
Nude people, like swimming in mud.
They were like lugeing downhill
organ solo instrumental
in mud.
What was funny was that if you got engulfed by the mud people, you would soon be nude and all muddy, too.
You'd be a mud person.
There was no way around it.
Nude, too?
Yeah, they would just start hugging people, and next thing you know, I was like, oh, no, I'm a mud person. You know, it was like Night of the Living Dead. When you died and you became one of the Night of the Living Dead, you just were, because they were like, they were just a band of gypsies. There were like 50 of them, and they were so muddy. As soon as they touched you, it wasn't worth trying to be not muddy.
But why nude, too? That's the best part.
You know what? What's weird about that, it was a subculture that formed within.
It did.
Woodstock was just like a three-day festival.
That was crazy. God, those people were nuts. And they were so overcharging for bottled water. Oh, it was like 10 bucks or something.
Oh, so we went, we left our place, went outside the fence, went to a store, organized a trip for supplies, beer and other stuff, and came back in.
That's right.
Tina Galley.
So we had a tent. Mm-hmm. Oh, Tina Galley?
Yeah, she organized it.
Wow. Yeah. We should call
Steve was taking pictures of dogs.
Of nude people.
There's a school that teaches millennial adults on how to be an adult with lessons like how to make a bed.
Oh, my God.
And this is so funny. It's like how to balance a checking account. All these things that normal people sort of figure out for themselves.
How to feed yourself.
What?
How to show up to places on time.
Oh, well, maybe I need to enroll.
Well, millennials have been, yes, you might, is there a brief, maybe a one course version, a one night course version?
It's a simple solution. You just lie to me. It's what time you need me there.
Is that what Julie does?
All the time.
Anyway, we've certainly read a lot about millennials and discussed millennials quite a bit. They seem to be, in many cases, and it's unfair to say they're all the same. They aren't. There's some really together young people, as there always are. But there are quite a few millennials who, if it's not spoon-fed to them, if they're not...
That's a message for Jim.
Yes, it is. It's
bing,
nothing.
Bing.
Quite lengthy.
Oh, really?
If it's not spoon-fed to them, if it's not something that they're given and they were entitled to in the first place, then everything sort of blows up. And we all know a number of millennials. We had a lot of them come and intern for us.
Yeah.
So you know, we've always joked about millennials.
How do you not know how to make a bed?
Well, because no one ever made you make a bed. Because mommy always made it for you. I mean, you really do have a lot of parents. I thought, you know, over time there was really a lot of progress in terms of men trying to be not quite so sexist and do at least a few little things to make it at least appear that they didn't rely on women to do all their menial tasks.
Of course.
But in the millennial world, a lot of millennials have not been asked to, I remember who was it? Well, I won't say who it was, but it was a relative of mine, a female, who was saying she had to go home because her son didn't know how to make lunch. Her son was like 22 at the time.
Really?
It was like, wait, you're joking, aren't you? Can't make a sandwich? No.
Wait, come on. Make really? a sandwich?
No. And I really thought it was a scam on his part, where he really just acts helpless.
Mom, I want a sandwich.
What am I going to do? I'm going to starve. I'm going to go back to school.
A sandwich?
Yeah. A lot of abuse was strewn about after this revelation, because you know it was like, well, you don't have to leave, do you, really? Oh, yeah. He's helpless. He can't boil water. He can't do anything.
Well, you know what? Then just eat the bread plain. Too bad. I'm not coming home.
Go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
No, but I've heard a lot of similar stories like that where there's just this royal helplessness. But anyway, here's a school that's going to teach millennials how to take care of a pet, how to make a dentist appointment, how to clean the kitchen.
Wouldn't that be the how to make a dentist appointment? What?
You laugh, but I'm telling you, I guarantee there are people listening around going, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Imagine how bad the helicopter parents are of these students.
Well, precisely.
That's why they're there in the first place.
Yeah, when they're choppering around, they're busy doing all that stuff. I mean, they're really living two lives. They're living their own life, and they're doing everything to make that other life. I mean, we've heard about helicopter parents who literally know their kid's entire schedule at college and the night before. Hey, you got a quiz tomorrow. Don't forget to read pages 72 to 92. I mean, they really know all of that bullshit. It's incredible.
It's not real life, man.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't want, I think the majority of people wouldn't want that from their parents, really.
No, if they knew better.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've heard about millennials' parents who actually took their bosses to task for not giving them a bigger raise. or for not praising him enough.
I can't believe that that had ever worked.
No, it can't work.
You know what? You put forth a really strong argument. I'm going to give your son a raise.
Well, how embarrassing. Is she, who got there? Rachel?
Yep.
Cool.
Rachel.
Rachel!
Hello!
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. It's Drew and Mark.
Hello.
Hello.
And you've talked to Brandon and Jay probably already.
Already, yes.
And we're fascinated by this this adulting school that you've started.
Yeah, thank you. I heard that you were talking about how people just don't even know how to make their own sandwiches anymore.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things that they just don't know how to do because people do it for them, I assume. I mean, isn't that how we got here? I mean, I assume the reason you have people applying or entering these classes is because of the kind of parents that just, or the moms that just do everything.
Well, some of that. It's some of that. I mean, there are definitely some helicopter parents who have created a little bit of, you know, people who just don't have life skills. So right. Parents out there, teach your kids stuff. But there's also, on the other side of it, there's like, you know, I went through life, and then unfortunately my mom passed away, and thankfully she had some money, and I inherited it.
Mm-hmm.
And I melted into a puddle going, how do I deal with inheritance? What?
Right. You know, you would think. You would think that getting a bunch of money from, well, from anything, of course, you don't want your mother to die.
Let's calm down. It's not a bunch.
Any amount of money would be nice, but then when you're faced with, oh, my God, what do I do with it? How, do I invest it? Do I just put it in the bank? What do I do?
Right.
I mean, some people are surely faced with that.
Right.
Or, you know, so last night we were watching the Leah Remini show on Scientology, and they were talking about these people who'd been in the church for 30 or 40 years, and all of a sudden they leave the Church of Scientology. They don't have a check. They've never had a checking account. They don't know how to do anything.
This is what we're talking about. If it hasn't happened to you, and maybe you have weird parents who are like, you know, the freestyle ones who are like, just go forth and forage, and then, and they, you know, and you didn't get those lessons. Those are also people who come to us. But also, you know, how about I don't know how to change my own oil. Do you guys? I mean,
that's going pretty deep. I mean, to make a bed to how to change the oil.
You drive it to the 10-minute change place down the street.
Yeah, and you tell me you need your oil changed.
Yeah, and then you wait 10 minutes, and then it's done.
Well, but these are things that if it's like if you are trying to save money.
Yeah.
Or you want to know how to do it.
Or how about changing a tire on the side of the road? I mean, that's something everybody
exactly.
should know how to
should.
Do.
I agree.
Right. So it's not necessarily just entitled people who were created as monsters. It's just lessons that you might have missed. Somebody right now is making a video for our website, how to fold a fitted sheet. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, you know how I do it? Because sometimes my wife yells at me when I do the laundry because I just, you know, she's a perfectionist. So I fold it, and then I fold the corners over, and then I fold it so it's just a nice square. So she wouldn't know unless she opened the full package. Is that the trick?
You know what I do? I try that, and then I throw it on the floor and scream in anger because I can't even get it to do that.
Sounds like you need to go to class.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I asked somebody to do the video.
Well, what is the most, what would you say, and I won't use the word pathetic because that sounds, I'll try to be positive.
Astonishing?
What is the most surprising thing that you found that perhaps a millennial did not know how to do?
Well, you know, they aren't so forthcoming with, can you teach me how to?
Mm-hmm.
But things like, we had a, how to bake a chicken. You know, like
how to bake a chicken.
Bake a chicken.
You've got a chicken. You don't, and you'd be surprised how many people don't know sort of how to make a meal for themselves that is like a real, not frozen, from a drive-through meal.
I believe
the story mentions not knowing how to make a bed. There really are people who are over 18 years old who do not know how to make a bed.
I mean, it's sort of subjective how to make a bed, right? So, yeah, I mean, there are people. We try not to judge. We try to just give them the life skills. But, yeah, I mean, there are people who have gotten through life, and you know the term adulting, and it basically is anything that you perceive to be an adult task And if you get to the point in life where you're like, uh-oh, I crossed the threshold and I've got to adult and I got to start making my bed and tucking and folding. Yeah, they get the,
Rachel, can you explain to me, like, where in making the bed do they get hung up? What's the really tough part? I'm just curious.
I don't know. Maybe they have cotton allergies. I don't know.
No, the hard part is the bottom, Drew, to tuck it tight enough.
It's the tucking and tightening. It's the origami part on the corner on the bottom.
I guess it would also be knowing how much, how much to tuck in at the end, so you still have enough at the top of the bed to pull the sheet back and have a little. That would be tricky, I guess.
And then turn down service.
You're saying this from experience.
Possibly,
tuck you in bed.
You know,
let me guess.
It wasn't easy.
At the adulting school, there's probably people that are post-election just don't know how to deal with the Trump presidency and don't know how to communicate with their families or something, right?
Well, it's funny you should mention, I teach improv and acting. It's sort of, you know, where I got this. And I started teaching years ago, there are a lot of people who don't know how to have hard conversations. And especially with the holidays coming, you know, you got your grandpa Joe who loves Trump and wants all the immigrants out of the country, and you're mortified about that, or other way around. I don't know. I'm not judging. Yes, I am. But you have to be able to have these conversations or leave your house at Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be teaching a workshop that is, you know, how to just sort of move through it, redirect it. Yes, I'm sure that is very important to you. Where's the eggnog? You know, and just...
Well, how about just accepting someone else's opinion?
You know, it's interesting because this is, let's not get too political, but people feel really strongly about stuff about this. This isn't just, you know, a run-of-the-mill election where your guy won and my guy won.
Oh, no.
Or lady.
Not even close.
But it's different.
It's never worth losing family and friends over.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But I feel like the kind of people that would go to the adulting school feel that way.
That it's worth losing people over?
Yeah, they just would rather avoid the issue. There seems to be a lot of avoidance at the people that would need your school.
You think so?
Yeah, avoidance of real life.
This is where they learn the real life. This is where they finally go, you know what?
Avoided it.
Well, that's good. At least they are self-aware enough to know that they don't know how to clean the kitchen or whatever it is. Because that's one of the other things they mentioned, how to clean the kitchen. Again, can I ask where people get hung up on how to clean the kitchen? Is it running the dishwasher, maybe?
I mean, those are sort of extreme examples.
But they're good examples.
It's examples.
Because I could see somebody saying, well, I don't know how to run the dishwasher, or I don't do it the way she likes me to do it. I can't clean up the kitchen.
It's more like, I didn't know that you shouldn't put raw chicken on the counter.
I didn't know
that you are, you know, if you use bleach to clean, you should, you know, wipe it off with this. And it's more like that kind of stuff. It's, you know.
Oh, that's a little more challenging. I see. Yeah, they really promoted this
rudimentary. Right.
They kind of promoted this with the lower end things like how to make a bed, how to take care of a pet, how to make a dentist appointment, how to clean the kitchen. So
everyone knows how to do that.
Well, you like to think they do.
How about balancing a checkbook?
Yeah, that's a big one. We have a lot of financial people who are stuck with financial stuff. And that's fair, I think.
I don't think that's unique to a millennial. I mean, I'm Gen X. There are plenty of Gen Xers that have no idea how to do any of that.
Yeah, checkbook.
You know, it comes not necessarily from them not having learned, but more about, I think for millennials, there is a sense of their parents wanted to be like, explore who you are because we had to be this way. We were told we had to go to school, we had to learn this. And so the parents have sort of given a looser leash with things like that. And so they didn't hone and perfect skills. They were paying attention. And that's why people think they're so selfish, is because they were sort of given a license to explore themselves. And with all of the information coming at them, and they're the information age, you know, they're
technology too.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
They seem to be pretty
well.
So now
they're like,
because it's all about them.
Yes,
really.
Rachel, how does somebody, if they want to take your adult or go to adulting school, what's the best way? Where do they start?
So they can go to theadultingschool.com. And right now we've had a lot of live events that we'd like to, you know, keep. We've done a lot. We're in Maine. We've done a lot in Maine, and we'd like to keep them going and take them national, those kind of sorts of classes. But what we're also doing is ramping up our website so that our experts, and we're open to experts in any and all things, they can upload their content and people can learn from them.
That's great.
And when you get a student ID at the adulting school, is it a selfie or does someone actually take a picture?
Oh my God, that's genius. That's something we wouldn't have to teach them to do.
No.
Oh, no. I love
that. They can show you how to do it.
Exactly.
They'll show you how to make the ID.
You might have to instruct them not to be nude in their student ID.
Yeah, that's right.
What's the cost for adulting school?
Well, right now we are open. We are giving away 2 free months, and then we are going to charge a membership. It will be anywhere. It depends. There are levels. It will be anywhere from $15 a month and up.
Hmm. Wow, 2 free months though.
Yeah, 2 free months.
And when
here's the first lesson they get: time management. How to make time for the adulting school.
Hey, what's the key? What's the key to not being late? I know somebody that's late to everything, and they really want to start being on time.
I'm not an expert in that. I'm late everywhere, but our expert probably would say setting your clock faster. But also, it is a shift in instead of respecting your own time, you respect other people.
Ah!
It's a shift in perspective.
That's a very good point.
Sounds hard.
Yeah, instead of going me, you go, how about them, and respecting their time.
This person has clocks that are fast in their house, but they know they're fast, so they know by how, that they're 11 minutes fast. So
you, that kind you, of you, that's this all person you needs about. To just
whoever this
not
person
be as
is.
Good as,
they're not fooled
I don't know
by the
who
clock.
You're talking about. This person could be, possibly.
No, I don't know.
But, yeah.
Hey, no. What, when you, when, When you graduate from adulting school, do you have a graduation ceremony? Is there a cap and gown and that sort of thing?
You get no, a it's diploma? Not an official. No, it's
you're not accredited.
No, we're not accredited.
Okay.
No.
All right.
We'll work on that.
Well, we'll send everyone to your website, and hopefully, thank we can you. Make some good adults out of this. And thanks so much for your time, Rachel.
Thanks for talking to me, you guys.
All right. Bye. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Rachel.
Bye. Bye.
That's how millennials say goodbye. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Actually, didn't we find out they never say goodbye? They just hang up the phone.
Yeah.
I hate those.
Oh, you're still
people.
There. Okay. Later.
Yeah, that's the trap door hang up. The Melrose Place hang up.
I need closure.
Exactly. Bye, Rachel.
Bye.
Bye. Take care.
But for real. There was a story.
Bye-bye.
Swear to God. On... Let's see. Good Morning America, or is it today's show? I'm going to get it right. Good Morning America had a story today about saying goodbye at holiday parties.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Can you believe how much instruction there is in the world now?
Saying goodbye at holiday parties.
Yeah, saying goodbye at holiday parties. In other words, do you need to say goodbye at a holiday party, or can you just trapdoor it like I like to do?
Yeah. You're the most amazing trapdoor artiste I've ever seen.
Absolutely. But, you know, we've always had the pressure, the morning pressure, so it was always kind of understood that we always had to leave. And they were talking about they have the same problem, all the people on the Good Morning America. They all get up at ridiculous, like 2 o'clock or 2:30 or something insane like that. But they do get a limousine to work, probably, which is kind of nice.
Producers to do all their writing and prep and stuff.
They really spend most of their time in makeup, I bet.
Yep, you got it.
But anyway, I've always maintained that saying goodbye takes up and wastes so much time in the course of your life. Can you imagine if you could have all the time back that you spent saying goodbye to somebody, like especially at holiday parties or parties like that?
I'm the wrong person to ask for the other side of it, but I'm sure Tom Massaway would probably present why you have to say goodbye to somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, and I'm sure.
I don't really know why. I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you say goodbye to somebody, it's just filled with lies. Like, hey, let's get together next Friday. All right, yeah, cool, man. That'll be great. And then, of course, you never, you know.
Well, there's just something
inherently, you're texting, who dis?
I guess, slightly awkward about it. Like, you know, I've squeezed every ounce of fun out of being with you and your family that I can possibly get, and I really just want to get out of here and get back to my life. I mean, it's not really it's just kind of implied that there's nothing more for me here, unless it's so late you have to get to bed.
When you trap door, though, it's like, oh, I guess I'm not even important enough to say goodbye to.
That's why I try to do the general, see you, everybody.
Yeah, to everybody, yeah.
To everybody at once, but Kristen sucks me in and wants to do individuals, so...
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, the idea that you have to kiss 18 people because you're leaving.
You just say goodbye to everyone.
Because you're arriving. I just think it's insane. It's a crazy waste of time. And if you leave, if nobody did say goodbye, it would just be, well, he's not here anymore, so he must have left. So, okay, that's cool.
Oh, I mean, Dick didn't say goodbye.
They said that if it's a party of over 12 people, they said a dozen, if it's a party of over 12, you do not have to say goodbye.
Really?
Yeah, you can just bolt.
Oh, that piece came in handy then.
They called it ghosting.
Trapdoors.
I thought trapdoor was better.
Yeah.
But if the party is less than 12 people, then, yeah, you have to say goodbye. You have to make your departure. But they did say that if it's over 12, that the best thing to do is to say that for some reason you might have to leave early. So,
have you ever been at an event and you really want to go, but you don't want to be the first person to leave?
Yeah. No, that absolutely.
I feel like that happens way too often.
Or you don't want to be the first person there.
Yeah, I don't care about being the first person there because I know I can be the first person to leave, or I can leave pretty quick. Like, that doesn't bother me.
Well, right, your schedule would kind of suggest that anyway. But yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, especially if it's around someone who's considered important.
I certainly, and especially judging by my size, have no problem being the first person to dive into a buffet. You know, some people are always awkward about, well, can we eat?
Yes.
I will just go for it. So much so we got yelled at once.
Yeah, we've been in trouble for that.
Well, at the palace, didn't we?
That's the one.
We dug into the food at the palace. Well, they brought the food out. It's like, what'd you bring it out for? You don't want anyone eating.
If the food's out.
They had to make a major announcement to everybody because Mark and I were stuffing our faces. That no one was allowed to touch the food.
Why was the food out, though?
Exactly. Once the food comes out, it's fair game.
What were you guys eating, by the way? You remember?
The whole buffet. We took scoops of everything because we had to jump on the air in a short period of time. So
you remember what they had?
It was pretty good. I remember
meatballs,
that.
Meatballs and mashed potatoes.
Maybe some scrimps.
Taters.
Yep. It was good. It was good food. And we got it first when it was fresh, right when it came
out.
Everybody else had it. And wait whatever we had.
How long did they want it to sit there before anybody ate it?
Another half hour, Drew. It was ridiculous.
And the announcement was really kind of obnoxious, too, wasn't it?
Well, because it was directed at us two idiots.
We were the only two eating.
But it was kind of an obnoxious way of saying it. I mean,
I know
that I want to knock the palace because the palace has been very good to us. But there was just sort of a...
We had a little problem with the food. People actually thought they were supposed to start eating, and we'll make an announcement when we want you to start eating, which is not yet. So please don't eat the food.
God forbid, it's only sitting
when
out there.
Are we supposed to eat it?
Well, we already had plates, so we just kept going.
I know.
Yeah, would you eat?
All right, moving forward on the best of Drew and Mike, 25 things you don't know about. This is one of those really stupid bits that... I'm not going to say what the 25 things are about, but the subject makes it... I knew it had potential. I didn't think it'd ever be on a best of, put it that way. But
it's hard-hitting reporting from, what is that, Us Magazine?
I think it was... it could have been Star Magazine, Us Magazine.
And you know so much about celebrities for them to dig up 25 things.
I know that you don't know. It's quite amazing. I suspect we added to the list... Did we add some things? We did not add to this list.
It does well standing by its own.
Okay. All right.
It does involve, quite possibly, the dumbest birthday present ever.
Oh.
How's that for a tease?
Now I remember. Okay. Stand by for that crazy tease, the fruition of that crazy tease. Is it possible, though, you get life-changing eye surgery without having to dip into your bank account? Yes, it is. Many of you have what's called a flex account or a health savings account, which means that unspent money for 2018 will disappear if you don't use it by the end of the year. If so, call the Yaldo Eye Center. Put that money to such good use that it'll benefit you for the rest of your life. Custom LASIK from Dr. Yaldo will free you from your expensive and annoying contacts, will give you better vision than you've had with glasses, and if you have reading issues, it can solve those too. Nobody in Michigan can match Dr. Yaldo's experience and surgical precision. For those of you 50 or older, Dr. Yaldo will show what those incredible multifocal lens implants can do for you. The technology produces stunning, lifetime-lasting vision at all lengths. You'll read the tiny print and be amazed. Find out your best options cost nothing. Finding out your best option costs nothing. There you go. Okay.
Free appraisal, right?
Get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. And then Steve Gabar and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County are excited about Zotford's Black Friday Sign and Drive Zero Cash Due event going on right now. Black Friday deals started early at Zotford and Holly. The deals are simply maz-tastic. And Maz, I don't know, is he still fumbling and is he still fumbling his way through November?
I think it's a slow, plodding November for him. Whew. He's very excited. He has to work a full day on Tuesday.
I know that was. He's really been pushed, trying to push interviews down our throats to do a live show Tuesday.
He told him he could. Go ahead.
The 18 Ford Fusion, though, why can't he move any of those? As low as $121 a month. Sign and drive, zero cash due. Or an 18 Ford Escape, as low as $141. How can he not be moving those? Sign and drive, zero cash due. How about leasing a new 18 Ford Edge, as low as $188 a month. Sign and drive, zero cash due. Oh, no, $177. That was right. The breaking news.
Change.
Yeah. The 18 Ford Edge, as low as $177. Finally, leasing a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4, as low as $212 a month. Sign and drive, zero cash due. Maz may hurt the hot quotient at Zot Ford, but his strong customer service and pre-waiving of commissions make up for it. Support us. Help Maz afford his daughter's holiday gifts. This is looking like a grim holiday. And the pool? Is the pool that the girls earned in Jeopardy?
It might be off, yeah.
This is very disconcerting. Take advantage of Zot Ford's Black Friday Sign and Drive Zero Cash Due event. Only more friends at DealsInTheD.com. And then finally, last but never least, our longtime supporters at David Hall Mortgage. We talk about it time and time again. Hall clients are happy clients. If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your current home, you need to call David Hall and Hall Financial. We're always amazed by our listeners who take the time to write in to tell us about their great service. They've got the 5-star reviews, 500 of them, and they take care of clients by providing them with unbeatable service, high communication, low payments, a fast and easy process. They just closed one in less than a week. This review, Patrick and his group were amazing to work with. Not only did they get us closed in lightning fast speed, they had immediate responses to any questions I had. We hear that all the time. And kept me informed every step of the way. Lightning fast. This team closes loans on average in a third of the time it takes for the national average. They're averaging 14 days. And now they have a free appraisal offer on conventional home loans. Call Hall Financial today. Find out the details and receive unparalleled 5-star service on your next home loan. 248-308-5000. Or go to davidhallmortgage.com or click the link on the Drew and Mike Show site and fill out the online form. A Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. Yeah.
Did you read Us magazine?
Oh, no, who's in Us?
I don't know, but I always like the 25 things you don't know about me.
Oh, one of my favorite segments.
Who would you like to know 25 things about?
Who's in there?
John Travolta.
Oh, perfect.
Look who's talking. Oh, God, there's already starts with a pun. From his stupid movie.
Yeah, there's always tons of those.
The 62-year-old movie star reflects on his life for us. And I found that most of these things you don't know about John Travolta are either flying related or food related, which is really kind of weird. But number one is I'm an average tennis player. Like, that's number one about him.
An average tennis player? What?
Hey, you did not know that.
You're right.
About John Travolta. I think, if anything, you probably thought he was a great tennis player. And I'm just the average. Number two, 40 years after Carrie, my co-star Anson Downs still runs lines with me. So they're sitting there doing lines from a movie 40 years old. How boring. Hey John, how you doing? You want to run some lines again for an old movie? Number three, my favorite article of clothing is a black t-shirt.
Whew. Okay.
Oh my God, this one is so stupid. I envy Barbara Streisand's museum filled with her iconic costumes, said no one ever but John Travolta.
He was not thinking when he put that one in there. I mean, that one is just so, there's so many implications there.
Oh, the hell,
Barbara Streisand.
I know. But this idea that he's sitting around going, oh man, Barbara Streisand's museum, God, it's filled with all those
iconic costumes.
I envy that. So stupid.
That's the gay man in him just flying out. He can't fight it. He only fight it so much.
What does that mean?
Well, it'd be worse if it was like, I really envy, I'm trying to think of some gay superstar. Who's a good gay superstar? Like, I really envy Elton John. He gets to suck a lot of dick without anybody caring. Five, it gives
David
me.
David Guest is so handsome. I miss him so much.
He gets to, like, live with his husband. 5, it gives me great joy knowing that, this is so stupid, it gives me great joy knowing the joy Jane Fonda and then Gene Siskel experienced from owning my Saturday Night Fever suit.
What? Oh, Jesus.
He didn't even own it or make it. He wore it in a movie.
They paid extreme amounts of money for it, too. Yeah, they didn't enjoy it. It was an investment.
They got joy out of it, and that therefore gives him joy. Okay, my 16-year-old, this one's just embarrassing. My 16-year-old daughter, Ella Blue, is a better parallel Parker than I am. Just, I would never admit that if I were you, John. 7, Marlon Brando told me he never laughed so hard in his life than when he watched me imitate him on Saturday Night Live in 1994. I'm sure Brando was just being nice to you. Number 8.
Do not even remember it, by the way.
I don't either. No one does.
And I find it hard to believe that he laughed that hard.
He didn't. It's just something he told John Travolta to make him feel good. 8, I've been working on the life and death of John Gotti for over 6 years. There's your plug for whatever movie's coming out.
Okay.
9, John Gotti Sr. and I have a few things in common. We both love a gin martini, although I only have one once a week.
Whatever.
10, I don't cook often, but if I do, I consider myself a decent cook. I wouldn't embarrass you. I'd make it flavorful.
Oh, my God. It's...
John, I'm telling you, all of these are gold.
John, have someone edit this, please.
And this is like, I don't know who talks like this, but 11. I wake up and have the strongest cup of coffee you could ever imagine using half a pound of Starbucks Sumatra blend. It's epic.
It's epic.
Did you guys have any friends that talk that
way? Oh, no. He sounds like he's so out of touch.
Andrew Lloyd Webber initially asked me to do Phantom of the Opera, but it didn't work out. So there he's bragging for. My favorite TV show is Mad Men. 14, during this one's really dumb. During O.J. Simpson's infamous Bronco chase on June 17th, 1994, as opposed to maybe another Bronco chase O.J. did.
Yes.
My dad was visiting me and was in complete disbelief of what was happening, being that he was a football aficionado, coach, and player himself.
Who Travolta. Wasn't?
Everybody was.
Duh. Well, I guess John was sitting there going, oh, this is the most normal chase I've ever seen. It's a big, why are they following this thing?
Why? It was such complete disbelief, Dad. Well, son, I played football.
I can't believe you interrupted a program for this.
15, Kirstie Alley did a fabulous job on Dancing with the Stars, but I wouldn't do it. I don't mind giving a little sample of my moves here and there just for the memory. 16, it drives my wife, Kelly Preston, insane if I let my eyebrow hairs grow too long.
Well, that certainly is interesting in light of some testimony about some coarse pubic hair.
Yeah, wiry and unkempt. 17, sometimes I will...
Does it not drive her crazy when he's sexually assaulting men who are massaging him?
Well, notice the pubes don't drive her crazy because she's never down there.
Of course not.
Doesn't mind if those are too long, wiry, and unkempt.
How can she... I don't get that one. That's so... I mean, everyone knows what's going on with him. Everyone.
I know.
Of course, she knows more than us. She knows more than anybody.
Come on to class and be happy, John. 17, sometimes I'll indulge in McDonald's. 18, when it comes to award show speeches, I believe in jotting down notes and leaving room for the moment as well.
Oh, in case he's going to mispronounce something that people will talk about for years to come?
Adina Menzel. Or the Adele one and only. The wickedly talented. All right, here come all the pilot ones. You ready? 19. As a pilot, I flew from Mexico City to L.A. in the middle of the night with Marlon Brando and Sean Penn.
Oh, Jesus. Shut up.
20. I once had dinner on a LAX tarmac with Steven Spielberg and Kate Capshaw.
So what?
21. I'll never forget flying with Muhammad Ali from Los Angeles to Las Vegas.
Oh, he flies? Is he like a taxi service for celebrities?
I think he is. The best piece I ever... Here's another Brando one. The best piece I ever received from Brando is he said, don't expect things from people that I can't give to you. Don't expect things from people that they can't give to you.
Okay.
That seems like obvious brilliant. Advice.
I know, yeah. It's totally obvious.
This might be my favorite, though. 23. As a wedding gift, I flew Barbra Streisand and Jim Brolin to St. Thomas. I got news
for you. They had to fly with him.
They could have bought, they probably would have preferred to fly a private jet without knowing who the pilot is.
Right. Because they had to act like they were such a favor and, oh, John, this is so nice. Probably had to talk to him during the flight.
Yeah, which they did not want to. They just wanted to stare at each other and make sure they're still next to each other.
Maybe they're incredibly cheap. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of that they would do that. But they've got so much fucking money. Why would they need that? Why would he do that? Why would he waste hours of his life?
Because he was envious of her museum that's filled with all her iconic costumes.
Could I have a lifetime pass to your museum?
It's so he could get him cornered in a space so he could ask for a lifetime pass. 24. My top five places to fly are Sydney because it's so inviting. Shenton Island because it's so beautiful. Hong Kong because it's so exotic. Sao Paulo because it's like so weird. The approaches between the high rises. Once again, flying. And Paris because of the Eiffel Tower. That's just his way of bragging where he's been.
Of course.
And then 25, my favorite condiment is Coleman's hot mustard. That's his attempt at trying to seem normal.
Jeez. The funny story about...
Don't even pretend that wasn't...
Let It Go from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen. Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
What? Who? Is that John?
The wickedly talented. I mean, he's really killing time there, isn't he? When she's the one and only. The one and only.
Yeah. Well, you know who she was. He couldn't remember her name.
I love that. I love that he mispronounced her name. That was so funny.
Oh, Johnny boy.
The story I just love about John Travolta and his flying adventures is when they actually flew commercial and the kids said, what are all these people doing on the plane?
Yeah, because they're so used to being on.
They're so used to being on his 707
with nobody.
Empty row after empty row. Oh, nauseating!
God, they're just not normal people.
Oh God, I'm getting a phone call. Why do people
stay alive
in the podcast?
Right. Maybe it's that girl. She wants to see if you want to go to Pigeon Forge.
Philly wants to reveal her.
Oh, the hot girl from the trip.
So yeah, she decided she wants to reveal her weight now.
I'm too old.
I don't know why
her.
She would have your phone.
No, she wouldn't, because I would never fill anything like that out. Never, never, never.
I don't know why I did. I must have been feeling lucky.
I think this unemployment is really affecting your behavior.
Oh, it absolutely is. So I have no time and too much time on my hands.
Did you take Char to the Bass Pro Shop?
I did. Why else would I be at a Bass Pro Shop? She likes to see the things there. And I do. You know what's funny? Bass Pro Shop's one of those places I go there and I'm like, I want to start fishing again. Things I used to do that I just don't do anymore. Like, I would love to go fishing, but I know I won't. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to buy all the equipment and go fishing, and I would love to. I would love to go fishing.
What, you really like fishing?
Oh, I used to love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Seems like you would be way too impatient for that.
Wow.
I mean, don't you sit there with your thing in the water and, I mean...
A little more skill to it than that.
God, it just seems so boring to me. I have almost no memories of my grandparents because my parents were old when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandparents were ancient and they died when I was young. I mean, all my grandparents just...
So your memory's fishing with them, right?
My grandfather took me fishing once and I just remember he was not a social person at all.
Yeah.
And he just barely spoke at all. He was not a real talkative guy. He was a real successful guy, but he was
ironic.
Very quiet. Yeah, no, weird. Anyway, I don't even remember if any fish were caught. I just remember just thinking,
being
baking in the sun and probably wanting a Coke or something and just being totally bummed out for hours.
We had a woods behind our house and there was a pond and the pond was somebody stocked it. The rumor was always,
oh, stocked. That's not fishing. So that's not real fishing, is it?
Right. There was no waiting around. But I like going on a boat and fishing. I don't know.
Wait, in a stocked area? Or?
Sure. Right? If I ever
hunt. That is such cheating. I can't believe people go fishing in stocked ponds.
If I ever hunt, I'm going to a game reserve. I don't want to sit in a blind all day.
What do these people do when they're in stocked fishing places all their life, and then all of a sudden someone takes them real fishing? They probably go, this sucks. Well,
okay, to that point, we were in, we took a trip to Alaska, and we did some salmon fishing out on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Within the first 10 minutes, we caught, I think, one salmon each, which is pretty sweet. It's like, oh, wow, it took like 10 minutes.
Probably stocked.
Not one goddamn salmon the rest of the day.
Oh, really?
I was furious.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be a bummer, man.
And the guy just kept going, oh, it's so nice out there. They're not biting. I'm like, that is such an old fish tail.
Drew, you're talking about how your grandfather didn't say much.
No, not much at all.
Did you have a grand? Did the grandmother speak a lot then? Because you made me think about my grandparents.
Yeah, she was not afraid to open her pie hole.
Oh, so she just gave up.
Yeah, that's the same situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Everybody was so quiet.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, she was pretty blabbery. She was not real popular. Actually, that wasn't my. She was my step grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
But I really only knew her, and she was the one that I told you was pretty successful. When he died, he left everything to her, and of course, eventually, everything would get to his two daughters, my mother and her sister. Mm-hmm. But she was entitled to 5% a year if she needed it from the estate. And of course, she had her own money.
She always needed it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, she needed it twice a year a few times. She took 10% a couple years.
What?
So,
is that the setup?
No, I know. But the bank, because she had a lot of money in the bank, because she had her own money, she was from a very wealthy family, they weren't going to mess with her. In fact, at some point, I think it was a relative on my aunt's side of the family actually inquired about the estate because she was trying to plan her life, too. And found this out and complained to the estate, and the estate was just like, yeah, fuck you. You know, what are you going to do about it?
Really?
Yeah, because she had a lot of money. She had his money and her money.
What happened when she passed? Did she have a lot of money when she passed, and where'd it go?
Okay, there was somebody who was like her her chauffeur, I think, chauffeur slash assistant. She gave him a bunch of money.
Is driving Miss Daisy all of a sudden?
Something like that. She was some ass kisser. And I don't know who else. I'm sure there were some relatives that got something, but basically the money that my mother and her sister were supposed to get.
Straight version of Scott Thorson.
Some grim scenario. Anyway, before she died, she was dying. She offered the cabin, which was really valuable. They lived in a cabin that was worth like I think it was a couple million bucks. That might have been $3 million. She offered it. You know, is anybody interested in the cabin? And I think a couple people said, well, yeah, I'd be interested in it. You know, none of us live near there. But it was like, well, the price is, like, she's one offered to sell it to a family member before she died. What a generous offer. She sold it and gave the money to charity. I swear to God.
Bitch.
I know.
Well, I mean, it's her money. She can do what she wants, but that's ridiculous.
A couple of my siblings were kind of downcast about it. Like my brother, I can't believe she did that. I think people were hoping maybe some funds were coming around. And nope. And I swear, I just knew it because I remember a couple times people asked her to borrow money. I mean, like a small amount of money. And she wrote real shitty letters back like,
God.
You should save for a rainy day.
Well, you shouldn't take 10% when you're only allowed to take 5%.
You fucking
idiot.
Cunt.
Wow. You would think because of that alone, it might hit her in her old age. Like, all right, I should give some of this back to these people.
I could go on about this bitch forever.
This is your step grandmother? Is that what it was that we said?
Yeah, my step grandmother. Okay. Not even blood. When somebody in the family is getting divorced, and it was one of these things, you know, just bad marriage. Mm-hmm. And she was upset about it. She's like, she had this pseudo religious side. And she said something like, you need to watch Robert Shuler. You know, the glass house.
The farting
TV televangelist.
See the farting preacher?
Yes.
Right?
Robert Tilton.
Oh, that's Tilton.
Oh, yeah. That's
but
right.
Shuler was
the glass palace or whatever. Okay. Yeah. You need to watch Robert Shuler. Oh, yeah. Watching a fucking televangelist on Sunday morning. Yeah, that's really going to patch up the marriage. Bitch.
Think of how much money she probably gave him.
Oh, well, yeah, seed good
money.
Point. No, she liked getting shit named after her.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Like wings of hospitals and...
Really?
Yeah.
Are they still named after her?
Well, yeah, I suppose. I mean, she's gone now. I mean, they can take it down. She'll never know the difference.
Resell it, yeah.
I'm not going to complain. I'd say, please do take it down. Fuck her. Yeah, we should. We have the entire family right there. That bitch should not have her name on anything. Not her fucking money. And she, but the ugliest part about it is, I think, let's see how that story goes. I don't know. I'm talking out of school a little bit here. Not the part I just said, but anyway. Bitch. Yeah, that was quite the deal. Yeah, anybody in the cabin?
I can't believe it.
Well, yeah. $2 million.
Not even a
cash.
Not even a discount.
No, not even a discount.
Not even a 5% discount per year that she stole.
I know. It was terrible. So my mom and her sister ended up splitting. I mean, it was a significant amount of money. It was like $170,000, but when he died, he was a millionaire.
Wow.
And I don't know what she did with her own money. She probably put it in a big pile and burned it.
Well, that's okay. There's.
It just she called all the bank. I want all my money now.
Just maniacally laughed as it burned. And then shot herself after it all burned.
And the fact that she was so religious, that's the part that just gets me. It's like, oh, you! What a great lesson they taught you in that church, you know, to give all your money away and fuck your family. Well, fuck my incompetent family.
Did she, have your grandfather do stuff like with my grandparents? My grandma was insistent on having a condo down in Florida, and my grandpa wanted nothing to do with it, but just to, you know, shut her up. He went along with it. But after she passed away, he, like, unloaded that condo, like, within a month, you know, kind of thing.
So well, he died first, but I don't know how much he kowtowed to her. I think he saw her as some sort of miracle person that appeared in his life. You know, because he dumped my grandmother for her, and I don't know what she might have been a humdinger in bed. I don't know.
Oh, gross.
I can't figure it out.
By the way, that is how he would have described it. She's quite the humdinger. You're all crackerjack.
I think that word is strange. When have I last said humdinger? What the fuck? What's wrong with me?
As a matter of fact, that was her best move, the humdinger.
I just can't imagine what else, what other valuable, because there's nothing likable about her at all. I mean, she has no redeeming value.
Like, it's so weird to think of your grandparents boning, but you know they did.
Well, when they got together, I think they were, you know, they were probably young. I think they actually were in their 40s or something. So still boning up a storm.
You ever do that when you're out in public? You see like a couple. I mean, you're at dinner or whatever, and you're just like, oh my god, those two people are doing it. You know what I mean? Not necessarily like gross people or anything, but just like. Oh, those people are probably wild in bed, and nobody, you would never suspect it.
Well, when you read about, you know, every now and then you read about some guy, it's 85, he's like, oh yeah, we still do it once a week or something.
Ugh.
Wait, really?
Why?
How good is that?
Stop. I mean,
and how long does it take?
What? I don't know, it's just so weird to think about that. I don't want to think about it. All right. From cradle to stage. Stories from the mothers who rocked and raised rock stars.
Hi, Mommy.
I believe we have Dave Grohl's mom on the phone, Virginia Hanlon Grohl. Are you there, Virginia?
Hello, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How's the book doing?
Well, it's doing okay.
Yeah, good.
It's, excuse me.
Oh, my
Here's
gosh.
The story we have today. There's construction going on inside my house, so I'm sitting on my front porch. In a, you know, a nice neighborhood, and this enormous truck just drove by. So, you know, that's where we are.
Hey, it must have been fun to talk to all these rock and roll moms and some pop moms, too.
It was the best time I've ever had.
That's
they were great.
I mean, to share stories about band practice in your basement and all the noise and all the gigs you drove the band to and all the shows that you went to. It was funny, you know, reading about Val. I think it's Dave Matthews' mom. Wasn't her name Val?
Yes.
Yeah, she's talking about how she gets so angry when the fans stand up and she doesn't like them singing along with Dave because she can't hear Dave.
Yeah. I honestly had those feelings at the beginning, too, because it just seems, well, first it seems rude. And then, you know, to block other people's view, you want to just say, please sit down. And then you realize you're the only one.
So of course.
You just have to join.
You know what I noticed in a lot of the moms was, that difficult decision when you've got this child who, especially for somebody like Pharrell Williams' mother, who's got a doctorate and hears her son not doing his homework because he's so into his music. And
right.
I think you described that feeling they have that they just have to play music. They love music. They've got that thing. And so, you know, do you let your child drop out? There's just not a lot of encouragement of artistic kids in our educational system, is there?
That's a huge problem. Yeah. And I hope someone else will do the book on that because there's so much to be discussed, and I think there are ways to approach it. I, you know, it's what I retired from. I was a teacher for over 30 years, and I had a lot of these kids who were the little budding artists of different kinds, and I really enjoyed them, and I've found a few ways to feed their creativity and keep them coming to class. But I was one of a few. There aren't, you know, most teachers just follow the plan day by day. So kids lose interest and aren't appreciated. And, yeah, it's a sad story.
I love the quote you included from, I think it was a teacher of Dave Matthews when he asked him what he did in the weekend. He said, I was working on my music and my art. And he says, oh, where's that going to get you?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and Val still, she's still incensed at that, of course. But that's the mentality. So, yeah, I hope that maybe you'll find some people along the way that you can talk to who can begin, you know. It's definitely a problem.
Along those lines, I mean, you were very encouraging to Dave to go over to Europe when he's 17 to tour. I mean, a lot of moms wouldn't do that. Which rock mom did you talk to that was maybe the most reluctant to have their kid, you know, leave home and tour?
I don't know. To leave school or leave home, most of us knew by the time they were 19 anyway that that's what it was going to be. But for the school thing, I suppose maybe Sandy Clark was one of them. She had been very academic, and she just forced Gary Clark Jr. through all kinds of hell that he did it. He finally did it for her because he didn't know any other way. But it was torture for him, and now she's just biggest fan. She's at all of his shows, and then, you know, shortly after that, after he got through school, and then they just didn't know. Then he didn't know. Well, now what do I do? And at that point, she dug in and helped him. She helped finance his first CD, and she bought that funny book, and which said, "Here's how you make a record." And she just researched and found out and became his whole staff.
My mom's
crew.
Mom's
and
never stopped being
together.
Moms.
So yeah, that's how that one worked out, which was beautiful.
Who of all the moms, who do you think has gone to the most concerts? That's probably a hard question to answer because it seems like they all go to shows.
Well, she's one of them. And Donna Heim of the Heim Girls.
Yeah.
She's on the road with them a lot. And
a lot of world
Pharrell's
travel.
Mom is home with the kids most of the time because when he's touring or working, she takes care of his children. So, or helped anyway, I don't know, since the new ones have been born.
Well, all of you see your share of shows, that's for sure. A lot of you have seen so much of the world, which is great. I mean, your son's career to take you to all those great places. You know,
today I talked to David as he was running on the stage in Prague, and I just, I was wishing I was there. He's on a European tour now, and I just, I would have loved to have gone to that one.
What an amazing second act. After Nirvana thought, oh, gee, what are these guys going to do? And what an amazing.
It's funny because when I think of David, I think of Foo Fighters first now.
I do too.
Nirvana, because he's the leader. And when he launched that, you know, he kind of did it in secret when he put the demo tape together because there was a little bit of backlash to, oh, this drummer's going to sing now. But being the mom, you must have thought, well, of course, he can sing. I've heard him sing a million times.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know what anybody was saying at that point. It was such a bad time. Mm-hmm. And then I was just so happy that he was moving on with his, doing something with his music. The brave step forward to go to the front with a guitar was something I really didn't think much about at first. And then later I did and thought, wow, that was really gutsy for him to do that.
Well, he did play guitar growing up, didn't he? Play some guitar?
He played guitar and drums, yeah, sort of interchangeably.
Wow. I was intrigued to read about Wendy Cobain, of course, the tragedy of Kurt, and I was sorry to read that she got burned by a documentary, I guess, that she got involved in. What exactly happened? They portrayed her poorly in the documentary?
Yeah, she thought so. I thought so, too.
Mm.
And it was it was hyped a bit as a really great thing, and she was really looking forward to it. at the stage when I talked to her, and, you know, at that one stage, and, yeah, she was devastated by it.
Oh, boy. Well, being Kurt Cobain's mom, I'm sure the business of being Kurt Cobain's mom doesn't, I mean, probably doesn't end. I'm sure she still has, does she have to do a lot of business relating to the band? Or did
I
that
don't
all...
know. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke to Amy Winehouse's mom, too. That had to be, that had to be something.
I know. I was wondering how that was, I was dreading it, actually. Yeah. And, I mean, the story's so tragic, and I can't explain how outstanding I thought Amy Winehouse's voice was. I mean, that's
amazing.
Like the voice of a generation. She was magnificent. And then her story was just so sad. But Janis Winehouse proved to be this incredibly optimistic woman who's had a pretty terrible life for the last 20 years, I guess. And she has multiple sclerosis, and she's now disabled a bit, and she's still rocking on. I mean, she's just very, very forward-looking and charming, and we had a wonderful time.
She's got a book, too, doesn't she?
Yes, she did, yeah. It came out 2 days before I interviewed her, so I didn't even know about it. I'd read about 4 books on Amy, but I didn't know that Janis was writing one, and she gave it to me when I was there. So it was wonderful, and I'm glad that I hadn't read it before because I just would have cried the whole time. She's a strong woman.
That's the downside of that business. I mean, moms are letting their kids go and do that, but they know the danger.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, how is it that, you know, Dave seems so balanced? I mean, really, you'd think he'd have some stumble in the road, but...
He's never been in trouble. I think he had a thing in Australia, but that's about it.
How do you explain that, Virginia?
You know, I wonder every day about it. he's just a very good person, and he was a good little boy, and he was always funny. He's always enjoyed life. He was always fun to be around, and he still is. He's the most fun person in the world to be around. So I can't take any credit for it. He just started out that way. And I just saw something today on Facebook that was a tribute he did in Glastonbury to a woman named Laura. And I can't even talk about it because I just cry. It's just, it's so touching. And it was so good of him.
Yeah, he's really one of the good guys in the business.
He really is.
It must make you feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I love both those bands, and you know, and I love the documentary that they did too on the Foo Fighters. That was fantastic.
Sonic Highway one, or
no, the other one.
The other one.
I was like, well, I think it was Virginia. I'm sure you saw. It was about 3.5 hours, I believe.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it. Darn it.
I can't either. Sure, we'll get it. We'll get it in the show notes for sure. But yeah, outstanding.
Back and forth.
But I also like that you mentioned Sonic Highways because that was, to me, that was sort of a surprise even because when I said when he dropped out of school and I said, you know, now he's going out to learn from what he experiences and where he is and what he sees. And I think that was a proof of, he's become a historian. Mm-hmm. He just is so interested in the music, in the roots of music, and where it comes from, and who it affects, and how it affects them. And I love that show.
You should take credit too, because he got to stay. Was it his cousin that he stayed with in Chicago? That really, really
crazy. Yeah,
yeah. So take credit for that, for shipping him off for that summer.
No, I was there too.
Oh, you were there too. Okay, I just thought
we
him and his
there
sister
every
went
every summer because Tracy's mom was my best friend, and we had no money to go on vacations because I was a single mother teacher. Another whole story for your next podcast, political podcast. And so we would go there, and they lived 2 blocks from Lake Michigan, and so it was, you know, it was their resort house. And Tracy was the big influence on him at that point.
Yeah, taking him to see punk bands when he's 13 at downtown
at the
Chicago.
Cubby Bear.
Yeah.
The Cubby Bear, of course. Oh, God, a bit of the Cubby Bear. Back and Forth is the name of the documentary.
Yeah, it's
back
great.
And
forth.
That's it, yeah.
Hey, what bands did you, was there an artist you liked, you know, before Dave was older that he ended up playing with or that you got to meet later in life, like Elton John?
Yes, the Beatles, Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Were you starstruck?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I'd met a lot of people, there were several great moments with Paul McCartney, and you know there will be more because they're sort of friends. So,
wow,
yeah,
they played together. They had a Grammy together. In fact,
they've played a lot together. Actually, they've
really,
The Grammy thing was great.
Well, so are you tight with Paul now?
What?
Have you talked to him since, or did you just meet him the one time?
I've talked to him since. Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna ask Virginia what the highlight of you know being Dave's mom has been. That's got to be one of them, the Rock and Roll Hall of
that
Fame,
was
of course.
One. And to make another one that extends from that, when Paul got the Gershwin Award, the Library of Congress Award for composing, the tradition is they do a show at the White House, and they do it in, I forget what room it is, maybe the East Room, and it's a rather small room, and so Paul invited about 10 artists to play his music, and it was Stevie Wonder and
Elvis Costello played Penny Lane. I saw that.
Exactly.
Yep.
So if you've seen that show, you know.
Yeah, Dave.
That was a great show.
Dave played Band on the Run, didn't he?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so it was one of the great shows of all times. And then either before or after, we had photo ops with the president. And so I have a photo of myself with the men, my favorite men in the world, the men I admire the most, who are Barack Obama, Paul McCartney, and David Grohl.
Oh, wow.
And me.
That's pretty cool.
You've done good.
What a wall of fame you must have.
I do. That's right at the top, yeah.
Well, the book is called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. Virginia Hanlon Grohl, congratulations on the
thank
book
you.
And all the success with Dave.
Thanks for birthing Dave. He provided us with great entertainment. We love him.
Well, and thank you for reading the book, and I hope you enjoyed all the parts of it.
Absolutely. I haven't finished it, but I did enjoy everything I read. It was really interesting.
Family pictures in there. It's a lot of good stuff.
I wasn't sure. I thought, oh, boy, rockstar moms. Don't worry about moms. And then I got into it. It's, for one thing, moms reveal so many things that they'll never reveal themselves, which is kind of fun, like, you know, Pharrell Williams being on the drum line and, you know, silly little things like that. So it's fun from that standpoint, and also all the things that you, the commonality you see between these guys. It's really quite interesting, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You should tell Dave to let you go to Europe.
I'm meeting him in Italy in a couple of weeks, actually. So.
Nice.
Not bad.
I know.
Well, have fun.
Bye, Mom.
Thank
have
you.
A ball with it. Thank you very
Thanks.
Much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you, Mom.
Virginia Hanlon Grohl. With a forward by Dave.
She knows her stuff, huh?
Well, yeah, these moms, they're incredibly involved. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, reading the Springsteen book, it was funny how much he talked about his mom and how many shows she goes to. She's 91, still going to shows.
Oh. Hi, Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Ted Williams' mom loves him, too.
Hi, Mommy. Yeah. Hi, Mommy.